Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 1. I therefore, that means because of what I've already told you. Therefore, we understand coming to this point in the chapter. Now bear in mind, Ephesians was one long paragraph I have read. Many deep context in it, especially the first three chapters. Here Paul begins teaching us of our responsibility to God. Why do we have a responsibility to God? Because of what he's foretold. That the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God of glory, the God of all knowing, all omniscience, the God of all power, the God of all wisdom, who cannot lie, who cannot deny himself, has purposed this. Therefore, because God loves you. Therefore, because God has revealed the mystery to you Gentiles. Ephesians he was speaking to. Go back, begin reading in Acts 20. And the rest of that book of Acts, you'll find where Paul is coming into Ephesus and teaching and preaching the full counsel of God to Gentiles. Not to Jews, to Gentiles. Remember, he was the apostle, the one who was sent to the Gentiles to reveal the mystery which was kept secret from the foundation of the world. That God had a people among the Gentiles. That God loved them. That Christ came into the world to die for them. That he died for their transgressions. That's Jew and Gentile. But Gentiles were made aware of this, that he was raised up for their justification, that he ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high, where he forever maketh intercession for the saints, where he reigns in heaven and in earth, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, because you now see that God had a people among the Gentiles, which were elect from before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ of God, that God would say, these things now are made known unto you. Therefore, Paul says, I, the one sent, the apostle, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Started chapter 3, we talked about him being the prisoner. Certainly he was in prison. When these letter was written, it was written to the Ephesians while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. He was imprisoned because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was persecuted because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Jews hated him because he denied, as they said, the law of Moses. Well, actually, what he did was preach that Christ fulfilled it. That we had no righteousness of our own. That it's all in the Lord, our righteousness. Christ who died for us and imputed the righteousness upon us by revelation through the Spirit of God the Father. It was imputed to us as being righteous by the unction of the Spirit of God. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus. You can't escape this prison. You're not in bondage of chains. This prison is a prison of love. Yeah. You're captured by love. For God is love. I love what you said about going to God in heaven in a love that we cannot even begin to understand while we live in this body of flesh. How great that is for those that have gone before with the body in the ground. How great will it be when we're all taken up, carried into the heaven above. Right. Love. God has captured you with love. We love God because he first loved us. I don't know how to love. God loves. Yeah. Because God is love. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he cannot escape. He cannot be taken away. You cannot escape God's love. Sin can separate us from God in a sense in this world to where we do not enjoy the pleasures of the kingdom and the knowledge of the love of God and Christ's finished work, but it cannot take us from God or from God's love.
That's right.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, held captive. Almighty love, the song says, arrest that man. Arrested by God's love, imprisoned in God's love, cannot escape, cannot be taken away, because God cannot lie. And I'll give you another God cannot. God cannot hate you because God chose to love you. That goes along with he cannot deny himself. That's part of his purpose, which is revealed unto us as Gentiles in the New Testament. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, L-O-R-D, the Lord God, Jesus Christ. How can the Son be the Lord God? Well, because he is also the everlasting Father. He's the living Word. But mainly, in the extent that in the purpose of God, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Understand that, bodily. God is a spirit. Christ has a body conceived of the Spirit of God from the Virgin Mary. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We can see him. We can touch him. It is manifested. And one day when we no longer have faith because we see him by sight, we shall see him as he is, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Beseech you that you walk worthy. Think about this. I, therefore, because of all this I've written to you in this paragraph, we've laid it out in three chapters up to this point. This is beginning four. This long paragraph, because of what I've written in this epistle, because of what the Holy Spirit of God has given to me as I was moved by the Spirit of God, with each word, with each punctuation, with each jot, with each tittle, just exactly as the Spirit of God had it penned by my hand, Paul, that you would know and understand the revelation of the mystery. Paul said, I beseech you. Beseech, that means to beg. There's only one chapter. Verse 9 of Philemon, that Paul said, speaking of the dear brother who had rebelled against his master, does that not show us ourselves by nature, but was now brought into the bondage of the Spirit of God, arrested by the love of God, was now a disciple the Lord Jesus Christ, being sent back to the master whom he'd robbed when he left. Paul said, I beseech thee. He said, I could command thee to. But yet rather I beseech thee, I beg thee, forgive this brother. Why does he beseech him? For love's sake, verse 9. I beseech thee for love's sake that he would receive the brother back. For love's sake. God is love. We love God because he first loved us. God gave his Son Jesus Christ for us. In him the love of God is manifested. In him we understand the love that God has for us. That God himself, not going to leave this out. He begins the book of Ephesians with it. It's important doctrine. It needs to be taught. Chose a people. Loved a people. Predestinated a people. That he would become flesh in this world, in the body of the man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ. that He loved you so very much He would come into this world, that He would walk in this filthy, vile world for 33 and a half years, that He would begin His ministry, that He would teach us the Word of God as it is in simplicity, that God saves sinners, that God loves His people, that Christ came in the body to save His people from their sins, period, yea, rather, in my heart, exclamation point. Because it is finished. The love of God manifested. The love of God shed abroad upon His people. I have loved thee with an everlasting love and with loving kindness. That's God. Have I drawn thee? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He's not talking to Adam's race. He's speaking to God's elect, primarily those among the Gentiles, because He was sent to the Gentiles, primarily to those in Ephesus, because this book is written to the Ephesians. But being part of the New Testament, which God hath penned and ordained by His Spirit and kept for us to know today, in order to have the knowledge of Christ preached by the Spirit of God, in order to have the peace of God in our hearts by the Spirit of God, in order to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, and the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Now we went through this prior chapter, and we talked about Paul's prayer, and we talked about the Gentiles, and we talked about suffering for Christ. And we talked about one reason of that was that we might be able to dwell a little closer in the union with God, that God has joined us unto Him by the birth of His Spirit. Made mention last week, or it may have been the week before, where Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul." Part of that reward, because our reward is God, is that we have rest with God, that we have peace with God, that we have joy with God. Paul said in that in the Colossian letter, and if I can find where I read it this morning, I will read it to you. He talks about us having joy. He said in verse 23 of chapter 1, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Every creature means Gentile, the nations, every race of people, every family of people, "who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach," catch this word, "warning every man." Well, you better get it right or you're going to go to hell. No, 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 no. He cannot deny Himself. If Christ died for you, you will stand in eternal glory.
Amen.
Period. Warning every man. Giving them warning that Satan is outside the kingdom. Yes. That if we venture outside the kingdom, if we succumb to our lust and our temptations, that we'll fall. That we'll lose the knowledge or part of it of the joy of God and His love, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But now let me go back to the text. We're not here striving to be obedient to God in order to attain eternal life. Yea, rather, it's the fruit of the Spirit that we do love and have the things that are going to be listed: meekness, long-suffering, faith, love, love, love. Without God, there is no love. If God is in you, if Christ is in you, then you love, you have love. You have love of the brotherhood. You have love of the church. You have love of God above all. And you have love of your family and your brethren and your sisters. That you walk worthy. Why do we seek to walk worthy? Not to gain eternal life. Although we do gain life by walking in godliness, by trying to walk worthy. And if we have any worthiness, it's in God, in the Lord our righteousness, in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have an unction of God. We know all things. We're enabled of God. We love because God loved us. And we walk worthy because He has enabled us to. It is His mighty working. And if we're going to walk worthy of that, it's because of our love for God. It's not because of something that we might have or something that we might gain. Yes, we gain life in this world. Yes, we're given a kingdom. And that is a wonderful, precious thing from God the Father above, that while we live in this world of darkness, that we have a kingdom. Amen. Where we live in fellowship with God and with each other. I told you earlier, it's so great to be here. I love each and every one of you from the depth of my heart. And don't you say, oh, good man that I am, for oh, wretched man that I am. It's a gift of God. We walk worthy, or strive to walk worthy. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. I beg you that you walk worthy for love's sake. Love of God, love of Christ, that you walk worthy. We strive to walk worthy in order to love and glorify and serve our Master in heaven, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, because He loved us and He died for us. That's why we are to seek to walk worthy. That's why we are to seek to serve God. Oh, it's wonderful to walk with God. You know, sometimes you have thoughts, you have ideas, you have things come into your mind in the middle of the night or in the day or on the way to church, as I did this morning. It may be something of anger. It may be something of some lust of something. And you cry out in your heart, Abba, Father, help me. Help me, God. I cannot do this, but I have a point in saying this. Let me give it to you. Then you stop and you realize upon occasion that these things which now cause you so much grief in your heart did not used to bother you at all. And then they bothered you a little. But now thinking about something and not even acting upon it, just having it enter into your mind, causes you more distress than it would have some while back if you had actually done the thing. Does that make sense? Why? Because that's the affliction of Satan. Yeah. But what causes that sorrow at the very thought of such things? The love of God in your heart. Zechariah 12:10. For I pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Now catch this. And they shall mourn, and they shall look upon me, God, whom they have pierced. That was Christ. And they shall mourn as one that mourneth for his only son, and be in bitterness. The bitterness, just at the very thought of it. Not the action, not the commission, just the thought of it. That is the love of God in your heart. It seems to cause us more torment through life from time to time as we look to our nature. But God, it's the love of God within you. That's why Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. What is the vocation? We think of that as a job. I went to vocational school for a little bit when I was in high school. I wanted to be a welder. And God steered me another way. But when we think of vocation, we think of a job. This is our work.
Yeah.
Well, you old Baptists sit on the bench and do nothing. Well, some of us do from time to time. But we have a work. Because God works in us, we have a work. Paul is going to tell us about that work. It is our vocation. The word means holy calling. Paul said, "For you see your calling, brethren." 1 Corinthians 1. As many as he foreknew, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, the firstborn among many brethren. Who he did predestinate them. He foreknew them. He also predestinated them whom he predestinated, or whom he predestinated, them he also called. The only way you come to God is by the calling of the Spirit. What are we called unto God to do? He answers that also in Romans 8, because he says, whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. We are to stand in the glory of God. Put the Bible together, brethren. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. There is a call in the gospel. You cannot answer the call in the gospel unless you have answered the call to God's life. You had no choice in answering the call of God's life. You were dead and had to be given life. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 that no man can see the kingdom of God except to be born again. And we had to be born again. We had to be changed. We had to be cleansed. We had to be given life. We had to be adopted to the nature of Jesus Christ. Our vocation. I love that song we sang this morning. What shall I render to my God that I may gain eternal life? No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. Because we are given eternal life. Because God looked upon us before the world was, that God loved us, that God made a way to save us, and when the fullness of the time had come, that God sent forth His Son, that He died for the children of God. That's why Paul says, I beseech you, for love of Christ, for love of God, not because of the church, not because of your knowledge, not because of your peace, not because of us at all. Because it's all about Jesus Christ, who has the preeminence of all things. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. Both here in this world and the militant church, where very few come. What a shame that is. Or whether it's in the eternal realm of glory, where there will be such a number that man cannot number it. All God's children. He is the head of the body, the church. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. We're ambassadors. That's our job. Ambassadors for Christ. To show forth the glory of God in Jesus Christ and what God has done for us, that He's given us life, that He's working within us, that He's turned us from the world of darkness unto the world of light, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we live and we show forth Christ in our body, we show Him forth in our death too, but we're talking about life right now. Christ be magnified. Our vocation. How is that done? John 15. We see penned. I'll just give you a very simple explanation. In John 15. I'll go in verse 8 and read a few. John 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We're to show forth fruit unto Christ. So shall you be my disciples, not my sons. There are many sons of God. There are few disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Christ, God loved Christ. Christ loved us just the same way. And He says, you want to continue me on my love. You want to glorify me If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. There is our reward. There is Christ in you. There is God with us, our shield and our exceeding great reward, and that your joy might be full. But here is the commandments fulfilled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Why do we love to come here? Why do we love to assemble together? Why do we love to be here together? Just a few of us. So many people say things looking at small congregations. Well, why do they meet? It's not worth it. They could go 20 miles farther and be at a bigger church, or two churches could come together, or this, that, or the other, for whatever reason. Why do we come here? Because God has kept this place. God has sustained this place. It is our part of the kingdom, our little Bethel spot where God has brought us here. And we love God. Yes, we have joy here. Yes, we love each other because God dwells within us. And here is our peace in Jesus Christ. With all lowliness and meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, and somebody done been to the seminary and gonna stand up and tell you to bow your knee to evil men and be meek and turn the other cheek. And that is not what the Bible teaches. Forgive me. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Live as peaceably as ye can with all men and love the brotherhood. Let's go to the 37th Psalm. That's what's fulfilled in Matthew 5. I'll start with, you can read the whole thing and study it. I'm going to go to verse 8 to read verse 9. Cease from anger. That's not where I want to go. Where's my... Yes, it is. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. We don't fight carnal warfares. We fight spiritual warfares. Turn away from the evil and the wicked, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Who waits upon the Lord? The child of God, quickened and given life, that has the knowledge of God and the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, those that are born again by God's hand. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. This is concerning the kingdom, because they were driven out. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Then he talks about the wicked plotting against the just. The wicked are not going to plot against the just in heaven in immortal glory, because the wicked will be in the lake of fire. Only God's children will be there with Christ. This is speaking of the kingdom and the world, that when we walk in meekness, lowering ourselves down, esteeming our brother and our sister, doesn't matter if he's not in the church. God has more people out in the world being carried around with winds of doctrine, and many never even heard the preaching of the gospel, in some places in third world countries especially. To love, to prefer others before thee, as Christ loved us, to love them with all lowliness and meekness toward them. You're not supposed to be meek toward a rapist. You're not supposed to be meek toward some murderer. You're to live as peacefully as you can. He's talking about with the brotherhood, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. Study that word sometime. Dealing with the problem you have with them daily and daily and daily and daily. Working with them, long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love.